2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's put our eyes on verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, the Apostle Paul here repeated himself. He starts this verse and ends this verse with what's going on. And the reason that the devil has attacked him was because the devil was afraid that he was going to be exalted above measure. I want to talk to you tonight about the exaltation battle. The exaltation battle. Because you're in it. You're in it. And the enemy does not want you to be exalted above measure. Let's just think about that for a moment. When you see above measure, that means you can't calculate it. You can't put a number on it. You can't put an amount to it. See, I was telling Mama Alberta earlier today, I said, these billionaires don't even know how much they have. If you cornered one of them today and said, how much everything you got right now, they don't know. They don't know. Why? It's always moving. It's always circulating. But yeah, you know how much you got. Or want to have. Right? Something's wrong. Right? Something's wrong. And so the enemy gets real nervous when a child of the king starts finding out that they're supposed to be exalted above measure. And so here the Apostle Paul, he was stoned to death and was taken to heaven. You can read about that in other places. And the disciples gathered around him and he came back to life. But in those first 6 verses, he talks about himself, how he knew a man, whether in the body, out of the body, who was caught up to the third heaven, so on and so forth. And so when he was caught up into the third heaven, the devil, he saw him die. He saw his spirit leave, and then he couldn't see his spirit. So if he couldn't see his spirit, he knew that the Apostle Paul went to heaven. And so the devil thought, well, at least I got rid of him. Right? But then the Apostle Paul, his body starts moving again. And all of a sudden, he stands up and walks right back into the city that had killed him. And the devil said, we got a problem here. This reminds us of what happened when this happened before. Right? So he knew that the Apostle Paul had heard something from the Lord Jesus Christ and was bringing that back to the body of Christ. I imagine Jesus says something like this. It's not your time. That's not how this thing works. And I need you to bring to the people and break it down to them that they're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, their new creation realities, and the law of seed time and harvest. They need to understand that in the New Testament church. Right now, they're sitting there just selling off everything they got and trying to make their own welfare system, which failed. Remember that? Right? And so all of a sudden, the Apostle Paul is raised from the dead, And he shows up, and he's thinking, hey, well, this is pretty good, you know. And all of a sudden, he is being hit constantly by this messenger of Satan. Satan can't be everywhere like the Holy Ghost can. He's limited. Limited. Right? And so he sent a messenger that would constantly buffet the Apostle Paul to stop him from being exalted above measure. The whole purpose, because if the Apostle Paul is exalted above measure, other people are going to see that and realize, okay, we don't have to just survive. We don't have to just live barely getting by. And this is the Apostle Paul that would make it clear about the blessing of Abraham, that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing. That's the Apostle Paul that brought that revelation to the New Testament church, that if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And then he went on, like I taught Sunday, to teach about the Lord of all. Remember that? Three of you. The Lord of all. Remember that? Right? And so we see here then that it is God's will that we be exalted above our job. You can measure your job. You know how much you're going to make. Thereabouts, you know how much you're going to make. You can measure that. You can measure your education. You can measure your age. You can measure your rent. You can measure your mortgage, your car payment, your student loan. If you want to go all that, go. You can measure that. But right here, we can be exalted above calculation. My goodness, think about that. Think about that. Am I teaching the Bible? See, this is why it takes faith. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached didn't profit them. Why? They didn't mix faith in what they're hearing. I understand this will stretch your 3D mind, but you're born again into the fourth dimension. And if you want to live a fourth dimension life, this is the victory that overcomes this three-dimensional world, even our fourth-dimensional faith. And God wants us exalted above measure. You know, the world teaches this. Set your goal up here and shoot big, and if you hit down here, at least it was higher than where you were. No, let's shoot up here and get up here. Come on now. Ain't settling for that. And so, are y'all ready for this tonight? And so, there was a messenger of Satan specifically sent, right? Now, I've encountered the spirit of death on more than one occasion. I've had confrontations with the devil that would freak most people out to talk about it. Right? But let's just locate you tonight. Let's just call the messenger of Satan constant lying. Just those constant lies. Lying, 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 lying. Fiery darts. Nonstop. Right? You following this? What's the whole purpose? If you weren't a threat, if the revelation you have wasn't taking you somewheres, then he would just leave you alone, because that revelation is just some kind of made up something, and just let them think that. But he knows better. He knows what happens when somebody gets a hold of the truth, right? It causes them to go to a level beyond their ability, their education, their age, their gender, their race, you name it, right? So the Apostle Paul, he says, hey, God, get this thing off of me. Remember that? And the Lord said, whoa, time out. What's your problem? Right? What's your problem? And he three times. In other words, that thing was smacking him. That word buffet means to strike. It means to hit. All right, let me have my tool tonight. I'm going to get some amens tonight. One way or another. So if I start walking over to your area, there better be some amens coming out. Hallelujah. But what that represents is this. Bam, bam, bam. A constant. And the Apostle Paul was like, he was all happy with this revelation of this abundant life, right? And, you know, think about how thrilled you are being in a Holy Ghost meeting. And all of a sudden you get a word from God. And you're like, man, that was God speaking straight to me. Hallelujah. I mean, you jumped up and sealed that word and ran the aisle. And then you woke up on Monday morning with this. Boom. Boom. Is anybody with me tonight? Boom. Right? So, the Apostle Paul, he went to God three times. Look at your Bible. For this thing, I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. That's what the body of Christ does. Well, I prayed. Well, just keep praying, son. Just keep praying, daughter. Pound heaven. You might get through there. God's not going to do anything for us that we're supposed to do. That's a hard pill to swallow. But it's true. And he says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that might depart from me. And God said unto me, the Lord said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I can imagine the Apostle Paul said something like this. Well, why didn't you tell me that along with the rest of what you told me? Right? But how many of you know there's some things that you'll learn on your faith journey. Just because you launched out on what he told you to do, that there'll be things that you'll learn on the way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Remember the circle of faith? A lot. You learn a lot in that patient part. We don't like that part, right? But you learn a lot right there. You learn about his faithfulness. You learn about how to maintain your corresponding action. You learn how to praise by faith. You learn all these things, right? Right? How to stay steadfast, unmovable. Right? Right? And you don't know that unless you're into that. You know, Willie Ray has been instructing me, right? And so I was doing something on the total gym, and my shoulder started hurting. And I went to Willie, and I said, Willie, that thing you got me doing, it hurt my shoulder. He said, what are you doing? And I told him, he said, you're doing it wrong. Now watch this. I didn't know I was doing it wrong. I thought I was doing it right. But I could tell something wasn't right, because this ain't feeling right. And so he said, don't do that. Okay, now listen. I thought that I was doing right. I learned along the way that part wasn't right. Everything else that I was doing was right, except for the ropes. So I'm doing the ropes. I do 100, right? And this was, when was this? Sunday afternoon? Anyways, I'm on the 10th one, and bam! Oh, Jesus. I went ahead and did the other 90. And so, you got to understand, faith man, right? And so, I'm hurting, right? So I'm bulldozing with my faith. And Mama Alberta said, you need to tell Willie. I said, tell Willie what? He said, he's the one training you. I said, by Jesus stripes I'm healed, not by Willie's stripes. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. So she stays on me. So I finally get a hold of Willie. I said, Willie, my back. He said, what'd you do? I said, well, I was doing ropes. Been doing ropes. Been doing ropes for months. The wrong way. He said, how you doing it? I told him. He said, oh. He calls me Pops. He said, Pops, that ain't right. What do you mean it ain't right? Now watch this. I was doing, but I was doing it wrong. Right? See, you can be doing things, and most of it's right. This is why we need the Holy Ghost to adjust our corresponding action. Right? As we are moving forward, and the enemy, you know, he just wants to shut us down. Right? And so Willie says, well, here's what you need to do. You need to get some ice and put it on your back for 20 minutes, and then get some Epsom salt and some baking soda. And my mind's like, please. I don't want to do all that. And get soak in the tub for 45 minutes and put 2 cups of Epsom salt, a cup of baking soda in there, and stay in there and make it as hot as you can stand. And when you get out, I'm going to have some stretches for you. I don't do that. And Mama Alberta's like, what'd he say? He said, do this, do this. She said, well, I ain't doing that. By his stripes, I'm healed. She said, okay. Healed. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Stubborn. Now, I know none of y'all stubborn. None of you are stubborn. Stubborn against your teacher, your pastor. None of y'all are stubborn. No, whatever you hear, you just automatically do. That's my confession over you. But Mama Alberta, she wouldn't let up. And Willie's checking on me. And so I did it. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, I don't understand it. Why do you put ice for 20 minutes and then jump in a hot tub? Why do you do that? And then it dawned on me that you're making the muscle contract and stretch by the heat. I didn't, and it, and I said, ah, okay. Okay. Well, guess what? It works. So if you got a sore back, I ain't having no healing line tonight. Get you 2 cups of Epsom salt and a cup of baking soda. Just kidding. Just kidding. But the point being is, what is the point being? You can be doing something and be not doing it right. Exactly right. Are you following? And he sent me videos and he showed me how to do it right. And I'm looking at that like, man, I was doing it all wrong. Putting pressure on my back. There I am instead of everything's from here, right? I'm learning that. Glory be to God. So, his answer then, as the Apostle Paul was learning to walk in this, was, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, it does not say, then God is strong. When I am weak, get this revelation. It doesn't say God comes swooping in on the scene. When I am weak, I shift from my ability. We're talking about being under an attack of the enemy that's trying to stop you from being exalted into that house, to being exalted into whatever you're believing God for, right? And the enemy's trying to throw everything he can at you to buffet you, to try to wear you out. And it'll wear you out if you just sit there and do nothing. It'll pound your head. You can't sleep it away. You can't eat it away. You can't move it away. You can't ignore it away. If you're gonna win in fighting the good fight of faith, again, you are not fighting for victory. You're fighting from the position from victory, right? And so when I'm weak, I find then that God's grace, his ability gift to live and function in the gifts and callings, is available, and I access that by faith. By faith, okay? Lord, this thing's trying to overwhelm me. It's trying to hold me back. And I understand that this is my due time. This is my season. This is my harvest time. I understand that. You've made that clear to me. And the enemy has taken it to another level to try to stop me from myself going to another. Why do you think he turns it up? He turns it up. He turns up the level on you because you're going to another level. But most people get weary in well-doing instead of accessing this empowerment from God that we can take care of the messenger of Satan with the message from God. And that's where we're going tonight. The exaltation battle. Are you following this? You can't listen to what the devil is saying and not say what God is saying. God's message is greater than his message. His message is a lie. His message is factual. His message is temporary. God's message is eternal. God's message is truth. God's message is backed up by the blood of the Lamb. Come on now. Okay. So, we are in this so-called exaltation battle. Now look up on the screen just at the definition of exalt. To raise high in rank. You ready to be raised high? To be raised high in rank, in power, you ready to another dimension of authority? Or character? We had to put character in there, didn't we? Oh, that means that part's left up to you, ain't it? To elevate by praise, but I want you to see how the etymology of exalt. Look at that, exalt. Ex means out, like exit means that's the way out, extinguish, put out, right? But alt, A-L-T, is altitude. It's altitude. And so when you're being exalted, you're coming out of the current height that you're in. You're going to the next level. Are you following this? That's why the enemy doesn't want you to be exalted above measure. Because when we say we're going to the next level, you might be skipping five or six levels. Who knows? Who knows? Come on now. As your faith is, so be it unto you. So when we're talking about exaltation, we're talking about life as you know it ceases and the new life begins. Oh, my goodness. I hope you all are following this, because we ain't even got going yet, right? And so this exaltation battle is a real thing. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Look at this. I mean, that whole chapter is just rich. But let's go to verse 32. Let me know when you're there by saying hallelujah. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who, through crying out to God, pleading with God, begging God for him to remove it. This is Old Testament saints who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions in that order. I taught this years ago. Your faith takes you into the kingdom of his dear son. And to operate in the kingdom of his dear son, it's a kingdom of righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's a scepter of righteousness, right? And when you and I are walking in our new creation realities, it makes it so much easier to obtain the promises. It takes you out of, God, look how good I am, and I'm doing this, you ought to reward me for this, to understanding you've released faith and you're putting corresponding action to it, and God looks through blood-stained glasses, if you will, at you and I, that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We obtain the promise, stop the messenger of Satan. Stop the mouths of lions, right? Are you following the sequence? Subdued kingdoms, worked your righteousness, obtain manifestation of the promise. And when you do that, it shuts the devil up. You will see when you are exalted to your next level, wherever that may be, that the onslaught that he's trying to bring against you right now, where you at, devil? Where you at? He's running off trying to convince somebody else that they're not going to obtain. But you did. I said you did. Stop the mouths of lions, quenched, watch this, Next verse, please. Quench the violence of all those fiery darts. Escaped the edge or the weapon that was formed against you. Now look at this. Out of all this, this is put in. Out of weakness, we're made strong. Out of weakness, we're made strong. See? Waxed valiant in fight. Now that word fight there is battle. It's battle, right? And turn to flight the armies of the aliens. All right? Let's look at that word battle. It's 4171 in the Strong's Concordance. Polemos. To bustle, warfare. Now watch this. A single encounter or a series. I think a lot of you are in a series. Hallelujah. Because you just ain't believing for you. You're not just trying to hold on to your salvation. You're not battling, am I saved? You know how that battled way back in the day, right? Maybe, right? But you're not battling for that. You know you're saved. Because everybody around you thinks you're goofy. Because you're a doer of the word, right? But it says to bustle warfare, a single encounter or a whole series. Battle, fight, war, right? So this word battle is unique because it means to strike. Bam. That's why when those of you understand baseball, that the batter goes up, right? And the pitcher's trying to strike him out. How does he strike him out? By not allowing him to hit the pitch. Right? And so, come here. Back when I was a kid, we go up to the ballpark and pick teams. Right? And then we would take a bat like this. Get ready. Right? Just one hand. And we'd throw it, like say I'm the captain, he's the captain, right? We'd throw it, now right there, now hold it up. Now this is how we're going to find out who gets to choose if you're going to bat first or take the field first. Now you put your hand up there, right? Now see, I put my hand up there, now go on and cap it with your other hand. Right there, now see, he just won, he just capped it, so he gets the choice. Don't ever beat me again like that. So, now get this. That's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to get all the way up here to cap you. But it's already been capped. Jesus already took the ball bat and beat the heaven out of the devil. Right? Come on now, right? And we're in a battle. We are in a battle. And the enemy's trying to bam. But your bam is a whole lot harder than his bam. Y'all pray for me. The devil been, pounding my head. Pound him back! You can't sit under that and think you're going to win. You're in an exaltation battle. The enemy don't like the position Jesus put him in. He don't like it. Spoiled principalities and powers. Made a show of him openly. Triumphing over him and prayed at him butt naked, remember? Right? So he's always trying to be exalted, and the only way he can be exalted is through you not being exalted. That's the only, if you allow this, joy that he can get is to stop God's children from being exalted from where God has provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has exaltation on his mind. He don't like the height that he's at. He was in the heights, and he fell like lightning, right? Remember that? Go over to Isaiah. Let's look at that a minute. Isaiah 14. We're going to beat the devil up tonight. Anybody want to beat the devil up? You want to hurt him? Ha! Isaiah 14, verse 12. How are you falling from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground? To the ground. Which didst weaken the nations? Now see, he tries to get you and I to fall. He tries to cut us down. Why? Any way he can to hold us back exalts him to where he can, you know, go like this to God, because he can't go up in there, right? Look what I've done to your child. Especially those that understand what Jesus has provided. You know how many Christians know they're the healed, know they're supposed to prosper, and don't have any of it? The majority. The majority. You go to those believers' conventions, it's a revolving door. Very few that were in it before are in it now. Why? They tried it. They tried it. See, but then there are some of us that have been through a battle or two. Come on now. And know about the circle of faith. And know the enemy. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Folks, I've been in this thing. Man, it astounds me. I'm in my fourth decade. I mean, we didn't eventually come into the Word of Faith. We were born again into it from word get-go. You know, I listened to Brother Copeland talking about, you know, they were saved for like X amount of years before they got turned on to that. That didn't happen with me and Mama Alberta. We just, boom, right into it, and we've been marching ever since, right? But we know that we're on the brink, see, of the hugest. Is it a word? It is now. The hugest. The thing about it is, y'all understand me. Y'all get the interpretation. Ha! The hugest manifestation the Derbers have ever seen. We're right on the brink of it, and I know it. See? I know when that happens. How art you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Next verse says this. For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will what? I will what? Exalt my throne above the stars of God. Above the stars of God. Now, you can think, you know, well, that's just the stars in the universe. Well, okay. But God told Abraham, look at the stars. So shall your children be. I believe it's talking more about you and I, where he says, I will exalt my throne above the people of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. In other words, he is into trying to self-exalt himself. Now, his first attempt failed miserably. Come on now. But the wicked still have that self-exaltation thing working in them. That's why they'll cheat in an election. It's self-exaltation. See, are you following this? And so the devil wants to exalt himself against the knowledge of God. Go there with me. 2 Corinthians. We're going to beat the devil up. Well, I thought he's already beat up. Yeah, but we're going to pour salt in the wound. We're going to enforce it. I believe that you and I are just right there. Right there. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. And verse number 3. Now understand, when you read chapter 8 and chapter 9, he's talking about seed time and harvest. Thank you for your enthusiasm. He's talking about those that sow bountifully will reap bountifully. He's coming over into chapter 10, and he's talking about this is how you do it. This is how you reap bountifully. Just because you've sown bountifully, it's not an automatic thing. Because here comes the messenger of Satan to stop you from being exalted. And he's going to throw everything he can at you, right? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of mindsets, strongholds, stinking thinking, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing. Well, that house debt free is just too high for you. Having that new car is just too high for you. Face it. Face it. This is reality. This is what the devil brings. Every high thing. Well, that costs too much. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So here we got the war. The enemy is bringing these images. He's bringing these high things of that exalts itself. He's trying to paint a picture of failure. He's trying to paint a picture of you'll never have. And this is the, watch this, this is the combat. When you are in combat, you got the enemy, bam. And you in combat, you take your bat, bam, bam, bam. You ever see Bam Bam? Don't mess with pebbles. I said, don't mess with pebbles. You gonna see Bam Bam strength. You mess with pebbles. Come on, somebody. Y'all got a rhema on Bam Bam, ain't you? I ain't talking about Batman. Right? So you're in combat. You're in combat. And if you just let the devil pound you, that's what you're going to have. He's going to pound you and pound you and pound you, and there you are just trying to think your way through. There you are with some half-hearted praise, and you're not really addressing it. You jumped up five times in your kitchen, but you're not really addressing it. You got a teaching on, but it's background music. You're not really listening. Why? Your focus is just on the pressure. And I'm telling you, in battle, you got to confront this thing. You can't, the Bible, again, resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. How do you resist him? In the faith, it says, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he can swallow up. Right? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. So here, the enemy, the messenger from Satan, whatever level, right, is sending a message to you, you ain't never going to have that. How would that ever happen? See? And, of course, he's going to send that. How do I know what he's told you in your head? Because he's told that me in my head. Right? I don't have to be a prophet for that. He's the same liar. Telling you the same things that he's telling me. But you might not be telling him what I'm telling him. But I'm determined. Me and Mama Alberta, we determined. We ain't going to miss this season. We ain't missing it. Nope. This is the year of the priesthood. This is our time to rise up and shine. I ain't going to just sing a song up there and just, you know, oh, is it rise and shine and not do nothing. The enemy's bringing these high things that exalts itself against the very knowledge that you're basing everything that you've sown for on. Why do you think he's coming against you like that? And this is the exaltation battle. Because if he can hold you back from being exalted, then he has exalted himself. Yeah. Ah. Is anybody getting mad with me? That's why they have battalions. Battalions. Strike force. See? Hallelujah. So you and I are in this exaltation battle. Right? The devil, look at 2 Thessalonians.
Well, I didn't need to come in here and hear about the devil. I need to come in here and hear about Jesus.
That's your problem. All you've been doing is hearing about Jesus. And the devil been stealing from you with your little Jesus nursery rhyme. You got to know that Jesus paid the price. Jesus did it. But you could be doing your ropes wrong. You could be on that total gym wrong. And if you just get the adjustment, I'm putting some ice on you tonight. They're going to throw you in the hot tub and stretch your faith a little bit to where you can move around again. Hey!
Is this helping anyone?
That's the right answer. 2 Thessalonians, look at it. Chapter 2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposes? and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now we know from prophecy teaching, these end time prophecy guys, that there's coming a time when the temple of God, that you know, the Antichrist and all that going to be sitting in there and all that. But let's bring that where we are. Are you the temple of God? Are you the temple? Maybe we need to go to them scriptures. Are you the temple of God? So when the enemy tries to exalt himself against the knowledge of God, he is actually came into your temple. He has accessed your temple. Now, if you don't throw him out, he exalts himself. Where is it? You vowed, you ain't got nothing. Where is it? And he's trying to, like the Holy Ghost inside of us that guides us and leads us and tells us this and tells us that. All of a sudden, he's in there trying to lead you, telling you what you ain't going to have and why you ain't going to have it. And you might as well give up on this word of faith stuff and this seed time and harvest, right? And he sits in the temple of God, right? He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship. So anytime you are walking around, you know what the devil been telling me? He's in your temple. We don't want to know what the devil's telling you. He told us the same thing. We don't want to hear that. Did you throw him out? Did you kick him out? Did you cast him down? Come on now. Or are you living with it? Thinking that after a few days it'll go away. You got to be vigilant in this stuff, people. It's not hard. It just requires focus. Come on now. So he tries to infiltrate the temple that is bought with a price by Jesus. You and I are bought with a price. We are not our own. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And we should be taking care of this temple how he leads us in taking care of that temple. Right? And at the same time, the enemy, who he can never, ever enter into the heavens again like he did when the first Adam fell. Jesus took care of that. So the only thing he can do is take a blood-washed, born-again, spirit-filled Christian and exalt his lies above their life so they live substandard and never fulfill destiny. That ain't happening to Pastor. I can't make that happen for you. All I can do is tell you what's going on to where you recognize it and do something with it. You're learning how to swing the bat. You're learning how to swing back. See? Are you following that? And so, I always liked to win when I was playing sports. I didn't like losing. See? And the best team I ever played on was in the Air Force. Because in the Air Force, you had a bigger group of guys than in Wilmore. Right? In Jessamine County. And these guys played ball from all over the place. Right? I was a second baseman, shortstop, like that. Played every position, but those were the two because I was pretty fast. And second base was my big time. But my roommate, I'm laying around drunk and telling him all my stories about playing ball. And he said, why don't you come out and play? He said, we need a first baseman. I said, I don't play no first base. I got to play where the action is. He said, well, they need a first baseman. And you run your mouth pretty big. Why don't we see what you got? I said, all right. I went out there, and they were practicing, and they put me over on first base, and I'm digging them out, you know, and all that stuff. And the coach said, hey, can this guy hit? I mean, if he can do all that, can he hit? And so, to make a long story short, I went from playing drunk all the time to being on this team and starting. And so it got to where the sergeants were betting on their team. We're young kids. You know, I'm 21, something like that. And I bat second. The guy that bats first, Roy, fastest guy on the team. I'm second fastest. And Roy would always pretty much get on. And I would always advance him. Then MacArthur would come up, and MacArthur could fool you because he could hit a single or he could drive it to the fence. But then Pete, Big Pete, would come to the plate. And Pete, everybody would just back up when Pete come to the plate, right? And so we're in the championship game. And Roy gets on second. We're down by one run. And he looks at me, and I look at him. He knows from that look, I'm going to go to right field, and he's taking off. And so, and he ain't going to stop. And so here comes a pitch. I go to right field with a single. Roy comes around, game's tied. I'm on second. MacArthur gets up, and he gets a single. But I couldn't go anywhere. It's infield single. So I'm still held on second. Now here comes Pete. Now, my sergeant is in the stands. Philip, I won't see you here. Now, I don't know how much money he had on the game, right? But I done made up my mind. Wherever Pete hits that thing, I'm gone all the way home. I'm on second. There ain't no leading off in that type. And he hits right up the middle. I heard the ball go. I heard it going by me. I'm thinking, man, come on, Pete. You could have drilled that thing way out there. And so I know it's going to be close at the plate, but I heard my sergeant. You better be here. And they had this catcher, big old boy, who was always running his mouth, always wanting to fight, right? And I know it's going to be close. And here I come in, and I can hear, get down, Derber. Right? So I slide in right when the ball gets there, but I hit him so hard it knocked the ball out his glove. But at the same time, his knees crushed my calf, and the ball goes behind it, and I hear, and I'm laying on the home plate. Right? And I hear my guy saying, get out of the way. And here comes MacArthur in, and we won the game. So my sergeant's like, way to go, Philip. I can't walk. I had to go to the hospital. Leg all swelled up. But I did what, and I tell you what, our sergeant, see, you got all these shops. There's four shops. they're all in this big building. And so we're the AR shop, then you had the hydraulic shop, then you had the wheel and tire shop, then you had the environmental shop. So all those are different sergeants that run all that, right? But my sergeant, he's just walking right through there. And he's making fun of the other sergeants, right? Folks, that's just a ball game. I hear heaven telling us, come on to the home plate. Come on, win this championship game. Heaven's got a lot bet on you. It's got the word, got the covenant, got the blood, got the seed. Come on, somebody. Round third, we're going home. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Hallelujah. So that devil's trying to oppose us constantly. Hallelujah. Let me show you something here. Are you all right? You sure? Because we can pick this up Friday. 1 Kings. See, you'll understand what's going on out there in this self-exaltation thing where the wicked are trying to exalt themselves. 1 Kings chapter 1. Are you there? 1 Kings chapter 1. David is old, first one stricken in years, right? And he's about to leave the planet. And his oldest son, Adonijah, in verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him Dominion voting machines, mail-in ballots, drop boxes. He prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. What's he trying to do? Self-exalt himself. Who is to be king? Solomon. Now, Solomon is about to be exalted where his destiny was to be. He's being opposed. Solomon's just a young boy. What, 16, something like that, when all this is happening? Adonijah's older. And Adonijah's the oldest of David's sons. And so he's able to get people around him to help himself exalt himself. Follow this. Because this is what the devil tries to do. He tries to take your throne and put somebody else in it. He tries to take your house and put somebody else in it. He tries to take your car and put somebody else in it. Why are you tensing up when I say these things? See, you still got a soul problem when I say that. Why are you fighting that? So you need to step over into 4D. When I'm preaching, I feel it. I know when 100% is drawing on it. And I know when somebody's like, there he goes again. And you can hide by just looking real straight and even jumping up and amen or whatever. But I feel it. And God's trying to get something to you. But there you are, for whatever reason, exalting against what's being preached. Adonijah exalted himself, ended up. See, and the devil will find someone that will try to take your destiny. Someone that will try to take your stuff. Someone that will try to take what rightfully belongs to you. Well, I don't know why that didn't work out. Well, I do. It's because of what you're saying right there. The devil drug you over into question territory. It don't make no difference how many times the door slams shut. That property over there, Lord said, that's your property. Went down there, they said, no, it's not your property. Well, Lord said, it's our property. They said, no, it's not your property. Now, if I'd have just stopped, right, then we'd never have that property. Phase two wouldn't be sitting there. And I could be complaining all the way to heaven. Well, Lord, you said that was our property, but they said no. But what did I say? Come on now. Go again. Go again. Go again. You know the rest of the story. Ain't gonna change. See? See? But just because you got a word from God doesn't mean it's not going to be opposed. That shepherd shows up on the front porch of our house. I'm looking for pregnant sheep. I said, I got a whole field full. And he went out there, looked around, and he said, well, Mr. Derber, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. There ain't none of these sheep pregnant. What do you mean ain't none of them pregnant? How you know? This is how you know. He showed me. The natural. You know the rest of the story. I said, you know the rest of the story. Folks, here we are. We're in March of the year of the priesthood. And you can either grab a hold of what's coming out of this pulpit and run with it and watch your victory come into full manifestation, or you can play that wait and see. Well, I just see what happens to Pastor Mama Alberta. Let's see what happens to them. Watch on. He took his best shot, and here I am preaching on exaltation. Hallelujah. Well, I can see this is thrilling you tonight. Let me leave you with this. Go over here to 1 Peter. And we'll pick this up Friday. First Peter chapter 5. Look at this. Verse 6. Ain't never going to change. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do you do that? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Easier said than done. Easier said than done. See? Me and Mama Alberta were talking about this the other day, how I walked away from some great offers. As far as in the natural, when that one guy offered me to be youth pastor there in Michigan or whatever it was. This is back in 89, 90, somewhere around there. $50,000 a year, car, house, paid vacation, all the medical, all that. Only one problem. God didn't call me to that. Most people would have said, well, that's God. They would have said that. That's got to be God. Had another pastor want me to be youth pastor here in Jessamine County. I said, no, I can't do that. He said, our kids love me. Yeah, but I don't love your kids. Big problem. Give me that ball bat, will you? You want me to be youth pastor? But when we got off that King's airplane from being out on the Marshall Islands, those outer islands, I don't know, it's probably our third time out, so it's probably our ninth island. Probably halfway. We went to 18, so we were probably halfway. And I get off that airplane, and Norm Splitstoser was his name, chief pilot, I was the line supervisor. So when the King's airplane would fly in, which we were on, it would land on Kwajalein Airport. And so we'd have to go through the same line that I worked on. And everybody knew me. Hey, Philip, you know, the marshal, he's, hey. And so we get off the airplane, you know, we just want to get a shower and something recognizable to eat. And Norm Splitstoser's right there. And he said, Philip, I got good news for you. Now, you got to understand, he's the chief pilot, and he'd been out there for years. He knows everybody, everybody that the Army, you know, there's only like 30 Army guys out there, and they mainly just ran the post office. Everything else is government contracts, civilian. And so he knew all the Army guys, all the way, the major and the colonel and all that, and they liked him, and he was just in good rapport with them. But his wife had gotten healed in a Bible study. Her knees, both of her knees were messed up, and me and Mom Alberta laid hands on her knees, and she was instantly healed. And she wasn't staying quiet about it. And so anyways, we got off the airplane, and he meets and says, Pastor Philip, he said, well, he didn't say Pastor Philip. He said, Philip, got good news for you. I said, what's that? He said, I already cleared it with the Army. I already cleared it with the contractor, and they're doing something that they've never done before. I said, what's that? They want to give you your job back. You get to live on Kwajalein in your own house, you and your wife. You have everything. The chow hall, all the medical. You'll be making the money you were making before. And you get this, Philip, 2 weeks on, and then you got 2 weeks. They're going to give you 2 weeks to go to the outer islands. And if something happens out there, you don't get back, they got it covered. They just want you back. Jesus, come here. Out of my mouth. I can't do that. He said, what? What do you mean can't do that? Can't do that. Mama Alberta, she told me the other day, she said, good thing I didn't hear that. But see, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you, right? That's humbling. That's humbling. I got an A&P license. She's got her cosmetology license. We were making good money, and we can go back and make that, right? We got an open invite, right? But that's self-exaltation. Once you know what God had called you to, that's self-exaltation. Are you following this? Humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, that Not, it doesn't show that God has this beat down hand. No, humble yourself under his caring hand. And when you do, watch what happens. Watch how he exalts you in due time. I believe this with all my heart, that it's due time for this ministry. It's due time for partners. It's due time for members. It's due time for your exaltation. And recognize that the battle that's coming against you, pick up your bam bam. Come on and beat the devil. I mean, don't sit there and play with it. Don't play with it. Why are you sitting there just meditating on what the devil said? Come on. You gotta understand how the warfare happens. Joyce Myers was right. Battlefield of the mind. Right here. It ain't out there. It'll manifest out there. That's right here. See? That stinking thinking. Craziness. Me and Mom Alberta have been working that, what is it, Proverbs 24, verse 9? Put that up on screen. Proverbs 24 and verse number 9, I believe it is. I'm trying to close. The thought of foolishness is sin. Come on. Where you at, God? It's foolishness. What's taking so long? Foolishness. How come, God? Foolishness. Well, look how old. Foolishness. How would that have foolishness? See? Well, it's just too difficult, Dent. What? You find out what God says, you act accordingly, and you keep the devil out. Out. Bam. Get out. Well, I did that once. Get out. Get out, 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 get out. Oh, boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. Who can I use like the devil tonight? None of y'all like angels. See? By his stripes I'm healed. How come the pain's still there? He bore all my sickness, carried all my diseases. Yeah, but look, it's getting worse. He became a curse, redeemed me from the curse. Who's going to get here? Who's going to put the capstone on this thing? You're in an exaltation battle. See? I preached a message years ago. It just came to me. You're the deciding witness. Remember that? You're the deciding witness. Who's going to get the last word? Who's going to get the last word? Come on now. See? So don't think it's strange. This fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, knowing that the same pressure is put on the brethren that are in the world. See? So there's nothing wrong with you. There's something right. You are a threat. Dangerous. Because when you get to that exalted above measure place, you ain't going to shut up about it. Come on now. Hallelujah. Don't disqualify yourself. Father, we thank you that it is your will that we be exalted. And that, spiritually speaking, you've seated us in heavenly places. But yet, we're not seeing that in our lives on a consistent fashion. But Holy Ghost, we're not going to miss this time. Take your people. Give them the vigilance. Your grace is sufficient for them to be strong in you in the power of your might. So when those messages of the devil come to try to throw them off course, that they retaliate with your power. They swing the sword of the Spirit and they take ground. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, so be it. Lift your hands. Let me bless you. Father, blessings upon these, your people, as they go their way, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. I bless them out of the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Be a blessing. We'll see you soon. Go in the joy of the Lord.